Today we will visit the book of Jonah. The prophet Jonah, son of Amittai, administered under Jeroboam II sometime between 793 BC and 745 BC and was from Gath, a little small town just near Nazareth. His ministry occurred shortly after Elisha and was overlapped by Amos and then followed by Hosea. 2 Kings 14, verse 25, validates Jonah's status as a prophet. In Matthew 12, when the Pharisees were pushing Jesus for a sign to prove his identity, and the only sign he would give them was from Matthew 12, 39, I quote, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was in 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with the generation condemned, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." End quote. Jonah was a strong supporter of Israel, and consequently, because Assyria was such a cruel and brutal enemy of his home country, he did not want to do anything that helped them in any smallest way. So when God called him to go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, to preach repentance to the Ninevites, he refused to obey and ran like a rabbit, showing mercy to the Assyrians in his book and giving them grace to the Ninevites. Repentance illustrates the truth that God extends salvation to all who turn to him. The book of Jonah, when compared to the book of other prophets, is unique in that its content focuses not on the prophecy, but on the story of a prophet with unusual success. The story is a familiar one, perhaps made more so by the inclusion of the great fish, which most people read as a whale. God calls Jonah to preach to Nineveh, but Jonah runs in the opposite direction. And Jonah, like Israel, with a world mission, refused to fulfill that mission. He was punished, persevered, repented, and restored, as Israel will someday be. God besets the ship on which Jonah sailed, and which he tended to flee, with natural elements until he is thrown overboard and immediately swallowed by a great fish. Then Jonah prayed for relief and repented of his disobedience. I submit our current-day Christians often select the same path with the same result. When God calls us to do something, he will not change, so we have the option of truly repenting or continuing in judgment. He was delivered back on land and went to the city to proclaim God's message of repentance or be destroyed within 40 days. The response was overwhelming, and then the nobility openly and demonstrably expressed their repentance. Repentance, Old Testament and New Testament, is often linked to sorrow and prayer and is definitely a change in direction. No one is beyond redemption. The gospel is for those who will repent, which shows the extent of God's grace, as salvation is for all people. After preaching, Jonah goes outside the city to wait for God's action. He becomes angry because God does not visit judgment upon Nineveh. God supernaturally provides for his comfort, and God takes away, causing Jonah to have another fit of anger and displeasure. The Lord now expresses the essence of the situation. In Jonah 4:10 and 11, I quote, "But the Lord said, 'You have had pity on the plant for which you had not labored, nor made grow, which came up overnight and perished at night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more 120,000 people who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?'" End quote. First, there is an apparent message to Israel that God has a concern for Gentile people. The Lord's love for the souls of all people was supposed to be mediated through Israel. God's elect and covenant nation. Through Israel, the blessing of his compassion was to be preached to all nations, as in Isaiah 49:3. The book of Jonah was a reminder to Israel of their missionary purpose. The book demonstrates the sovereignty of God in accomplishing his purpose. Though Israel was unfaithful in his missionary task, God was faithful in causing his love to be proclaimed. In praise to God for miraculously delivering him, Jonah confessed, "Salvation comes from the Lord." That's in Jonah 2:9. Israel failed to proclaim God's mercies, but his work gets done in spite of human weakness and imperfection. The response of the Ninevites served as a message to rebuke to God's sinful nation, Israel. The spiritual insight of the sailors that threw him overboard had showed concern for a Jewish prophet, contrasts with Israel's lack of concern for the Gentile nations. Jonah's spiritual hardens illustrated the degree of Israel's callousness. Nineveh repentance puts a heavy commendation on Israel for rejection of the warnings of Jonah's contemporaries, Hosea and Amos. Often, contemporary Christians, just as Jonah, expect God to show us mercy, but deal justly with our enemies. After all, we deserve God's forgiveness. They don't. Such an attitude surfaces in many situations and is real dismissal of the central Christian doctrine of salvation by grace. Let me suggest that the Jonah syndrome does exist within some Christian communities. The Apostle Paul found it among the early Corinthian Christians. The Jonah syndrome lays behind the divisions that separate believers from each other. Each group believed that they alone were the true recipients of divine grace. Stay in the Word, praise God, give Jesus all your heart, and blessings to follow. Good day.